If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Beautiful drive up here. I wish I got out here more often. I love the Tri-Cities area.
There was a little fog in the air as you come down the hill kind of sort of into the Tri-Cities area.
You can see the mountains right there. That's beautiful.
It was
absolutely beautiful.
It was lovely. How was your football weekend?
My football weekend was great. There was a ton of good college games, a lot of blowouts, but a lot of good college games as well. I was right a lot with the things that I said. That always makes me happy. Yeah.
You had a good week in the pick segment.
Yeah, I lost all. The Auburn game got me, but I picked the Oregon game right.
You did. And that was before you knew that two of BYU's best receivers would be out for the game.
Yeah, so. Still got the dub. But, yeah, no, it was a great weekend. The Vols won by 1,000, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's always good when you win by that many.
A little chippy there Saturday.
You want to...
You said they were going to go for their knees. I said they were going to go for their knees. Swain said they were going to go for their knees. They went for our knees. And
you know what? I don't blame them one bit.
No.
I got problems with some of the stuff. I got a problem with the Tillman one. The Tillman hit was not dirty. He jumped up in the air. Yeah, the guy wasn't even that low.
No, that one I don't have any issue with.
There's a lot of other ones.
There's a lot of other ones.
I don't have a problem with them hitting low. That's just, what do you want to do? They're smaller, inferior athletes. What do you want them to hit them in the back, bounce off, and let the receiver or the running back keep making yards? You got to go low to make the tackle.
Did you see their quarterback, who was questionable coming into the game?
Had a good game.
He did, but I was stunned that with him being injured and at one point in the week unlikely to play, and then I don't know, he felt better or whatever, but they got him there and then they left him in until halfway through the fourth quarter.
They
were down 50 points.
They weren't taking him out unless they got some points. Moorhead was putting some points on the board.
But then he goes out and he tries to start a fight with Tennessee's whole team after the game.
Yeah, he was a spaz.
I was like, what are you doing?
He was a spaz, but he did have a good game, though.
He did. No, he
completed, I'll say this, he completed entirely too many passes against our defense.
Yeah, and Tennessee was giving him quite a cushion, but still it was more than it should have been.
I guarantee you Tim Banks is upset about that.
I'm sure he probably is. We address that and much more as we take a look now at the game plan. All right, we will run through everything that did happen this football weekend. Tennessee hammers Akron. Vols are up to number 11 in the AP poll. Number 12 in the coaches poll.
I have a dilemma with where I'm at. We'll get to it later. I have a dilemma on it because everything in every fiber in my being is going to old player Eric, which is Florida can come get some.
Yeah.
And we're about to stomp them.
Yeah.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
And then because I'm leaning that direction.
Fan me is like, nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
They're going to look like Anthony Richardson looks terrible. Watch him look like a freaking Heisman candidate against us.
We definitely have, I believe, what the Twitters call battered Vol syndrome, and where things are going well. Things are going well.
Phil feels good about it.
He should.
Owner of the trophy shop.
Fans should feel good about it. But
Phil, how many home games have you missed since when? He's
21 home games in 44 years. Doesn't count the COVID year. COVID year doesn't count, I can tell you. When you're talking consecutive games and all that, not one bit.
Yeah, that's Jimbo Fisher's only good year, and it doesn't even count.
Well, his only good year at A&M.
Fair.
He did win it.
At A&M, it's his only good year, and it doesn't count.
College game day is coming to town.
It won't be as crazy as App State was, but I have a lot of faith in the youngsters over at the University of Tennessee. They've been fanning hard this year. I think it'll be a really good environment.
Agreed. We will take a look.
Do we see Lane Kiffin signs?
We are past Lane Kiffin signs. I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan, but
I hope we're past that. Don't make a Lane Kiffin sign.
I hope we're past that.
Don't make a Lane Kiffin sign. Don't do that.
Yeah, I hope we're past it. We'll, of course, take a look at Tennessee against the Maxims coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Josh Heupel got a little emotional talking about the atmosphere this weekend. And I wanted to tell him, if you think that was fun, just wait until next week.
It's going to be crazy.
Because
going to be crazy.
And it was great outside of Gate 21. It was. I mean, you saw it. You were down there doing the show. The Vol Walk was incredible. The band was down there. It was all nuts and packed. But it was nothing like it's going to be next Saturday. I think he was rightly impressed by it. And then he's going to see this Saturday. So we will we'll dive into that coming up. And then did you see what Florida did on Saturday?
Or didn't do? They looked terrible.
With a good hold. Just not a dropped hold from a USF holder. They're at least headed to overtime with USF.
They got out of there by the skin of their teeth. They played terrible. USF was running the ball over them. I mean, it was they look bad. That's part of my problem with it.
Yeah, so the question becomes, was that good for Tennessee or bad for Tennessee?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're going to listen to the Eric Ainge show all week trying to decipher if Florida barely beating USF is good for the Tennessee game, my answer is I have no earthly idea. You don't know what Florida you're going to get. Are you going to get the Florida that beat a number 7 Utah team? Or a Florida team that lost to Kentucky and barely beat USF?
I'm hoping for that second one.
Well, let's go. Yeah, I mean, come on. Give me that all day. But you don't know what you're going to get.
Yep. We will break that down.
I'm sure the text box will be on fire.
Later on. Yeah, 865-656-9900. You can call us. You can text. Get ready. That's the game plan laid out for you every day by 40 seconds.
42ST.com. It doesn't matter where you listen, where you're living. It can be right out here in the Tri-Cities area or anywhere. Mike Carlton at 42nd Street Design can help you with your business. He can help you win the internet. Win the internet, you beat your competition, You're getting those new customers. Business is growing. 42ST.com.
We are here live at the Trophy Shop in Johnson City, 211 East Springbrook Drive here in Johnson City. Though they're called the Trophy Shop, do a lot more than just trophies and plaques. Awards, medallions, bridal gifts, honor cords, custom embossing of Bibles, books, and more. They can even custom laser engrave your Yeti tumblers and coolers. They're your home for travel mugs as well. Keychains, cutting boards, seasonal laser leatherette ornaments, indoor and outdoor office plaques, door signs, name tags, even the Dundee Awards. Fill in the gang, passionate with their craftsmanship. Excellent customer service. Lots of great customers here in Johnson City, and apparently a lot of great customers down in Knoxville.
A lot of them, yeah. All over the place.
Heard that as well. They are your source for over 40 years here. 211 East Springbrook Drive in Johnson City, or give them a call at 423-282-3535. That is the Trophy Shop. That's where we are here today. We return on the Eric Ainge Show next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Football is a 60-minute game. Mm-hmm. And you don't always say, now listen, do I want them to start faster like this weekend against Florida? Do we want them just giving a couple series away because they're not dialed in? Of course not. Of course not. But I think there's a reason for it. I think the reason for the Pitt game was I think we were a little too excited. And they had a good plan on defense. It doesn't take much to throw you off. Mm-hmm. And there it was. But we figured it out. Against Akron, you're playing Akron. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to play in those games. So
you wanted to get out there and blow them out, and maybe you're a little jacked up to do that, and then you didn't. And
Hooker definitely seems a little jazzed. He needs to change his playlist and his music before the game.
It was still, by the way, 14-0 after the first quarter.
Yeah, and you judged the entire body of work, and it was 63-6. I almost got it right. I said 63. Oh, wait. I might have got that right. No. I said 60-3, and yeah. Ivins gave me a hard time, and then I said 63-3. Who?
It was 63-6.
Yeah.
They start a little slow. It's a small talking point on our radio show today. It's not spend half the show on our slow starts. That's not where it's at.
Hendon Hooker only attempted 18 passes. He was 14 of 18 for 298 yards and two touchdowns.
Against Akron, that's what it should be.
Joe Milton came in 4 of 5, 112 yards and two touchdowns. Two absolutely effortless bombs.
I told you Joe Milton's good.
I said it during the game. When last year everybody was on the Joe Milton train, that was what they saw to get them on the Joe Milton train.
He hits them in practice all the time. He missed a couple in games, and then it got in his head, and then he missed a couple more, and everyone was done with him. Everyone was done with Joe Milton, and now they're not done with Joe Milton, and they can't wait for him to be the starting quarterback next year.
Yep.
I'm proud of all the fans that decide they're out on somebody, because you know how much I hate this.
Yeah.
You watched him overthrow a few. He did everything else right. He ran the RPOs right. He handed it off right. He ran the football well. He zipped it all over the place. He just missed a few deep balls, and people were done with him. It's embarrassing. I'm proud of you. If you were done with Joe Milton and you're coming back around, I am proud of you, because a lot of fans are the worst, and they'll still, well, he just did it against Akron. That doesn't count. Give me a break. He flicked his wrist, and the ball went 60 yards on a dime.
In stride
on a
both times.
Dime. There are NFL scouts that watch that and drool.
Tennessee outgained Akron on the ground 238-35. That to me may be the most important stat, because now Kentucky and USF have frustrated Florida and Anthony Richardson by stopping the run and forcing him to throw the football. If you can stop the run on Saturday against Florida.
No, you win.
I mean, you had the ridiculous stat, and I know it's not happened every year over the last few like it did for so long, but the team that wins the rushing battle against Florida more often than not wins the game. And I'm not sure that will ever be more true than it is this weekend.
It's true for most games.
Sure.
But in that series specifically, yeah, there are outlier wins in there. But the team that runs the ball the best wins. And that has never been more true to your point, because if Anthony Richardson is stuck in a must-throw-the-football type atmosphere, he will struggle. He will throw it to us. We will get interceptions. They will turn the ball over. They will have to punt. And it'll be how many points can Tennessee score, but they're going to win regardless. If you can run the football against Florida and you can stop the run, you got a really, really good shot.
Anthony Richardson on Saturday was 10 of 18 through the air, 112 yards and two interceptions.
He hadn't thrown a touchdown yet.
Anthony Richardson on the year has made three tackles on his interceptions, and he has zero touchdowns.
More tackles than tugs. That's not good. More tackles than tugs, Anthony Richardson.
I don't want
to. You know what, though? If we let him get outside the pocket,
then he's going to make.
And we let him run the football,
yeah,
then they'll have a chance to beat us. But so far, Kentucky and USF have kept that. How many rushing yards did he have in the game?
He had 24. Seven carries for 24 yards.
Done. Nothing.
Long of 16.
Nothing.
So you take out the 16, and he rushed for 8 yards.
Yeah. Even if you don't, that's nothing. That's not going to get you beat. 100 yards or more like he did against Utah, that'll do it. If he gets loose running the football like that, it makes them actually handing it off and running it way easier. It makes play action and naked boots way easier. You just got to corral the kid. Keep him in the pocket, and you'll beat Florida. And game day will be there, and Barstool Sports is going to be there, and Checker Nealon's going to be there, and it'll be sold out, and campus will be nuts, and you'll leave with a victory if you can just keep that young man in the pocket.
How about campus on Saturday this past week? I mean,
round of applause.
Incredible. So we get down to Fieldhouse Social to start game day all day. I think we went on the air at 11, so we were all down there at 10:30. And it was buzzing outside Fieldhouse Social at 10:30 on Akron Day when the game's not until 7. There were people going back and forth. There were people lined up to come in when they opened at 11. I said it on Saturday. It's like a dress rehearsal for this coming week. And if Tennessee fans bring it like they did this past week, which certainly they will, you've got a really fun atmosphere and hopefully a really fun outcome for Tennessee. 865-656-9900. We'll take some of your thoughts from the text box coming up. College game day is coming to town. Eric Ainge guest picker?
Yeah, right. I'm not popular enough for that.
We'll have some thoughts on that coming up next as we return here to the Trophy Shop right here, Springbrook Drive in Johnson City. The Eric Ainge Show continues next on the Sports Animal.
New top 25 poll released yesterday has Tennessee jumping up to number 11. The top five looked the same with Georgia hanging in at number one, Alabama number two, Ohio State three, Michigan four, and Clemson five. In total, eight SEC teams were ranked in this week's poll. Tennessee's Saturday opponent, Florida, fell back to number 20, and ESPN's College Game Day will be in Knoxville for the top 20 matchup between Tennessee and Florida. In the NFL yesterday, the Cowboys took down the Bengals 20-17, the Bucs down the Saints 20-10, Patriots got by the Steelers 17-14, the Dolphins stormed back in the fourth quarter to beat the Ravens 42-38, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa threw six touchdowns. Elsewhere, the 49ers down the Seahawks 27-7. Trey Lance will miss the rest of the season. Elsewhere in college football, Herm Edwards is no longer the head coach of Arizona State after the two decided to mutually part ways after a 1-2 start and an NCAA investigation. Good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
You already know where we're at. We're at the Trophy Shop in Johnson City today. Hey, first 50 people that come in here get a free T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. We already got ours.
So we didn't count towards that 50, right?
We didn't count towards the 50, okay. But there's already been 10 or 15
wearing
people
mine.
Coming in.
This is sharp.
Come on in.
Official Gator Hater. Because it is Love Gator it. Hater Week.
And,
right
it, and it is orange. You know, speaking of orange, can I tell a funny story real quick?
We gotta do score forward first.
Let's do score forward
you
first.
You can do it.
And then I'll tell my funny story.
Logan, who do we have for score forward? We have Will for score forward. Will, you are the cue to call. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you for your score prediction for Tennessee and Florida on Saturday. If your score is the one chosen at random by our promotions team, and it is the final score of Tennessee and Florida on Saturday, well, then you will go down to Ted Russell Ford. I think probably the Kings Pike location or the Parkside Drive location, and you'll pick out a new Ford up to $50,000. What do you think, Will?
I think the Vols will roll. 38-17 Tennessee.
38-17 Tennessee, a big Vol win, and hopefully a new Ford in your driveway, garage, wherever you park. Will, good luck to you. That's a score, Eric, I can get behind.
That sounds fantastic.
How excited would that stadium be?
Oh, my goodness. We need it.
Just warm.
Don't we need it? Don't we need it?
My little heart.
Don't we need it?
And that's how we play score forward, thanks to Ted Russell Ford and Lincoln, two locations, Parkside Drive as well as Kingston Pike at Walker Springs. You have a story.
So I didn't watch the game. I didn't stay for the game.
Okay.
So I'm leaving.
Okay.
And I always walk down around the bottom like you're going to the skybox because I park at Calhoun. So I kind of walk around the bottom underneath, hit the little trail there.
Yep.
And as I'm leaving, there is Coach Philip Fulmer walking in. So I went over and gave him a hug. And there was probably 20 people surrounding him. And he was being gracious to all of them, like he always does.
But the seas parted for Eric Ainge to get through.
Well, hold on.
Uh-oh.
So I go give him a hug. We're just talking for a minute, talking about how we need to go get lunch and coffee or whatever, and talking about grandkids and my kids. It was a couple minutes, and the crowd is still there. And he looks at me, and he goes, "Sorry about this. Have you all met Eric Ainge? Great quarterback for me. Played in the early 2000s. Great friend of mine. Well, everybody get over here and meet Eric Ainge." So the group came over because they listened to Coach Fulmer. Coach Fulmer says,
quote, "Sorry about this."
And then he just walked off all by himself. It worked. It worked. It would have been a little bush league if he hadn't already like signed all their autographs and given them hugs and taken pictures. He already did it. He already did it.
Eric Ainge smoke bomb.
He smoke bombed me. He smoke bombed me. and got out of there. I thought it was hysterical. And then I of course did the same exact thing. So, but it worked.
I love that.
Sorry about this.
I love that. Yep.
It's amazing.
All right.
I've arrived. I've officially been used as a smoke bomb for Philip Fulmer.
College game day is coming to Knoxville. Maybe we'll do this for Big Topic Wednesday on Wednesday more. But who do you want to see as celebrity picker?
Who do I want to see?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. I think that's a good possibility.
Who will I see?
Yeah.
Morgan Wallen, 100%.
Who is that?
He's arguably the most popular country music artist in the world from Knoxville, Tennessee. You should know that.
It's like
Luke Combs. Like App State had Luke Combs, okay, who's maybe number two, or they're right at the top. The two of them are.
Doesn't Knoxville have a female country singer that's went to Central?
Kelsey Ballerini, maybe.
Yeah, Kelsey went to Central.
I mean, she's nowhere near.
Not even close.
Popular as, not even close. She's C-minus list. Morgan Wallen's the A-plus list.
Wow, all right. Just handing out.
Very pretty,
yeah,
though.
I'm just calling it like I see it. Logan, you love country music. I mean, that's not in the same stratosphere.
No, not even close. So Luke Combs is probably number one. Morgan Wallen's top five if he's not number two. Kelsey, although she's very attractive, is way down the list.
Yeah. But you are right. You had it right. There's no way they would pick her.
What about Dolly Parton?
If Dolly would do it, then that's a home run.
If Dolly's home in Sevier County.
I'm assuming that the answer would be no. That's all. I'm assuming that she would say no.
If she was here, her answer would be yes.
Why not Kenny?
Wow. He's already done it, and he's not even that beloved.
Well, he is a fan of both schools.
Yeah.
And just about every school.
You have to be if you're that famous, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But he's already done it.
Yeah.
Like, more than one time.
He did it in 2012 when game day was at Circle Park. The last time it was here, they had Fulmer and Spurrier together doing it, which was
I'm here for that.
So you're okay if it's Peyton? Because Peyton, with his ESPN deal, yes if they asked.
You asked me.
Okay.
I'm assuming Dolly Parton won't do it.
Right.
If she would, then that's my
home run.
That's my answer.
Home run.
It's Dolly for sure. If it's not Dolly, you go to Peyton.
Yeah.
If Peyton doesn't want to do it, because, I mean, ESPN can't make him do it. It's Peyton Manning. If he's like, no, I'm not doing that, then he's not doing it.
Yeah.
But Peyton's the next one you ask. And then after that, I think you go to Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't have faith that we're going to be able to get Dolly or Peyton. Either one of those is a freaking home run.
Yeah.
Peyton would be funny, too. Great for the brand. All the young high school football players watching Peyton Manning up there rocking his orange.
You know there would be high school kids who would say, why is that kid that's on Monday Night Football doing the...
Yeah, why is the game show host? Is that the game show host? Yeah. There'd be a few. Not many, though. Don't recruit them if they don't know who Peyton Manning is.
Cody wants to know if Coach Fulmer had that smile as he walked away from you.
He was grinning for sure. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Funniest moment in the last little bit for me, for sure.
How did you think? So we talked about the game being a little chippy this past weekend. How was it officiated, and how did that impact the game?
I think it was officiated on a curve. They were getting killed, therefore they get more calls. And officials are not supposed to do that. It's human. It's human when you're watching one team get just throttled to give them the benefit of the doubt on stuff.
Yeah.
But as a referee, as an official, you are not supposed to do that. You are black and white. You are a machine. You call what you see. You call it correct. You're impartial the whole time, because what that does is it makes you're not impartial anymore. You're partial towards a team that's getting killed.
Yeah.
See you guys. And so that's a JV move by that officiating crew. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
As far as the game getting chippy, what did you expect to happen? I've played in games like that before. What did you expect to happen? They're getting absolutely killed.
Here's the other side of that. Do you remember Mike Leach's first year at Mississippi State? They had a couple of incidents where their team got into fights on the field. I believe one was in their bowl game. Another one was in a non-conference game.
Is that the egg bowl peeing incident?
The year before was the egg bowl peeing incident with Joe Moorhead.
That's right.
Look, I have never been a part of a Joe Moorhead practice or meeting or anything. But it seems to me that based on those incidents and based on what Mike Leach, of all people, had to clean up his first year at Mississippi State, and it hasn't happened since, I don't think Joe Moorhead runs a super disciplined football program.
No, that was by design.
And it came out over the weekend.
That was by design. You can curb that. If you're the coach and you see your team getting hammered and taking some shots and running their mouths and shoving people, if you're not okay with it, you can end it.
And
he didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He was fine with it. If we're going down, we're going down with a fight. And I understand that football mentality.
Yeah.
If you're going to embarrass us, we're coming for you. I get that. But again, JV officiating crew, it should have been eliminated from the game early. And it wasn't. They just let them keep playing and keep going low on everybody. And I don't have as much of a problem with that as everybody else does. You can't hit them in the head if they're not looking. If you hit them, if you hit them in the back, you might bounce right off. The sure tackle is to tackle him low. So I don't have as much of a problem with that aspect of the dirty play, but this nonstop running their mouth after every play, shoving or pushing somebody, that part of it they needed to clean up.
And I appreciate that Jimmy Callaway wanted to defend his teammates. I can appreciate the, I want to say fight, but that's not the right word in this situation.
It was one-sided.
I appreciate the passion that he displayed, but you can't lose your cool like that, because when you put losing your cool like that on tape, other people will have that same.
I saw people online saying that he should be kicked off the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't. He lost his
crap on the field. You punish him and you let him keep playing football.
I did like that Jalen Hyatt tackled him and drug him to the sideline to a coach
before it got any worse.
That was good leadership by him. And there were a couple other guys that were with him. I'm not saying Jalen Hyatt's the only good teammate.
But you know who's not mad at him? Anybody on that football team?
Yeah, he did apologize.
They're not mad. They get it. You know why? Everyone else that played in that game wanted to do the exact same thing. They just didn't. So it's easier to forgive a guy when you had the same feelings he did.
We will have a final segment of this opening hour of the Eric Cain Show, coming to you live from the Trophy Shop right here, 211 Springbrook Drive in Johnson City. It's Gator Hater Week. It's Gator Hater Day here at the Trophy Shop in Johnson City. We've got our T-shirts. You can get yours. The Eric Cain Show rolls on next on the Sports Animal.
Call or text 656-9900. That's Home Rate Mortgage. Call or text 656-9900. I mean, you can call them if you want to. They're a great company. But, yeah, give them a call.
And you should. 865-656-9900. You got – that's going to be my favorite story of the week, is that Eric Ainge was used as a smoke bomb to clear a crowd or to escape.
Part of it made me feel good because I was enough of a smoke bomb that it worked.
It did.
Like, if I wouldn't have been cool enough, then it wouldn't have worked.
If it had been Rick Clawson. Hey, guys, it's Rick Clawson.
Rick might have worked.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Thomas on the text line, no to Peyton. I'd like to avoid the curse. We never win when he's here.
I've already seen that going on.
That was a popular
internet sentiment
on Twitter as well. Yeah. David says, my guest pickers list should be 1, Dolly, 2, Tony Vitello, 3, whoever else. Peyton shouldn't be the picker at the game at all, LOL.
You know my only problem with Tony Vitello?
What's that?
He's incredibly important to us.
Yeah.
But when you compare him to some of the other people that could get brought up there, from a national fame standpoint.
True.
I'd love it. Don't get me wrong. He'd do a great job.
True.
He'd have some sort of bat flip joke in there about how
it would really trigger fans of other SEC schools. Because Tony Vitello's the guy that fans of every other SEC school, they know who he is, and he's probably the only. If you're a Georgia fan, how many baseball coaches in the conference do you think average Georgia fan can name? Maybe two.
A few, maybe.
Maybe three. Tony Vitello's one. And you know why? Because they don't like it. They've seen him on TV. My point is, most schools could not put up their baseball coach as a College Game Day guest picker. They put Vitello up there. They'd run a highlight clip of his chest bumping the umpire and be good.
I just don't think he's popular enough.
Yeah, that's fair. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us. Let's go to the phones and welcome Bobby. Bobby, you're on the Eric Haynes Show. Good morning. Excuse me. Let's go to James. James, you're on the Eric Haynes Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
Why not Inky Johnson?
If he was available, I think he'd be a great choice.
I think he'd be an awesome choice.
With his speaking schedule, he may be somewhere.
They're
but if
not
he's
just going to pick somebody that Tennessee fans think is
great. Yeah, right.
And no one in California watching College Game Day knows who Inky Johnson is. That's
no
the only reason
is.
They won't pick him. He'd be fantastic
right.
at it. I'd love, right. as a Tennessee fan and former teammate of his, love to see him do that, but they won't pick him.
Of course not. They'll probably, I don't know if Dolly can do it, but yeah. Well, yeah, EA, why not EA, man? Why not? Everybody
I'd probably
knows
say
Eric,
something
kid.
That would get me in trouble anyway.
I'm counting on it, bro.
I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah, have a good day, guys. Go Big Orange.
I'd have to be just off the stage going, hey, no.
And I'm only popular in Knoxville and now the Tri-Cities, so that definitely doesn't play.
It's fair. Tommy says my pick is Morgan Wallen or Kane. Kane. Who's Kane?
Glenn Jacobs.
Oh, yeah, pass.
Well, I mean, he's from a nationally relevant standpoint. People know who he is.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know him as Mayor Jacobs, but if you said Kane from WWE Wrestling, then he'd be popular. Yeah. I don't know that's enough of a poll. You know, he was Kane a long time ago now. He was Kane back when wrestling was actually really popular, though.
Yeah. Hour number two of the Eric Haynes Show is coming up next. We're coming to you live from the Trophy Shop. We're here in Johnson City. The Eric Haynes Show rolls on Gator Hater Week.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.